Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News, where on this podcast channel, I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further encourage girls. Today on episode 37.
When things start feeling old, you know, that's when we kind of get more complacent and, you know, and sometimes that does work for phases of our life. But if you do it too long, you know, you're not getting that energy and joy from your career, and you spend a lot of time in it. And, and secondly, you could get left behind. So, you know, always finding those things that are learning opportunities.
Today on episode 37, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Lisa Latour. As a senior director of product design and UI systems, global utilities, and mobile at Sprout Social, her passion in establishing enablement programs to efficiently scale the expertise of these teams throughout the company has allowed her to bring in rapid growth. Her extensive experience in horizontal design and UX engineering leadership helped her build UIs to be scalable, user-friendly, and developer-friendly, and has also led UX teams as a technical lead for over a decade. Focused on bringing clarity, she's also dedicated to a more inclusive work environment for the underrepresented. So thank you so much, Lisa, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi. It's great to be here. Like you said, my name is Lisa Latour. I have been in tech for a little over 25 years now, mostly as an engineer, but in the last few years have shifted a bit more to leadership, which has brought me more into the design org. And I'm just really excited to see what I can share that's helpful. I've been in tech so long that things have changed. So part of my path might not work for someone's path today, but I'm happy to share any ideas I have.
Perfect. So my first question for you is, tell us a bit about your career path.
Yeah, so I fell into tech by accident. I was in grad school studying to be a therapist, and I was taking a brief break to take care of my parents who were sick. And I was dating someone at the time that did web development. And this is in the early days, like 96 or something. And he said, oh, you know, you would love this. And I was that weird kid on the playground that was actually under the climbing structure doing puzzle books. So when he started showing me code, he gave me a book. I did immediately love it. And I ended up doing a lot of his contract work by the end of the weekend, and then never went back to grad school. And I thought it was going to be temporary, but here I am. It's always been a really fun challenge to solve problems in this way. It goes all the way back to the puzzling. I like to say I get paid to solve word problems. But I've also done a lot of work to make sure that my community orientation and my drive to be giving back to the world through my career gets integrated, even though I changed paths.
That's so exciting. And my next question for you is, what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? And do you have any tips to succeed?
Yeah, the main one is to make sure that it is something that it fits your love and fits your values. There's so many different ways to do tech and STEM, and it's completely valid to do it to make a good living, but know that because it affects how you grow with it, and make sure it's a field that moves and changes so quickly that you do need to keep growing and changing. So if it's not something that is just your natural love, then you know, you're going to need to have an explicit plan for staying ahead of it. Or if it's your love, you need to learn to adapt. And some of that is what happened with me over the course of my career. I loved CSS, and things moved in a more JavaScript direction. And so over time, that did affect my career because I didn't shift along. And I still love CSS. And I still work with folks that do that. But I had to adapt and change what I was doing because the times changed.
Yeah, I also love CSS. When I was a kid, I promised that I would never get into technology. But during quarantine, I did the hour of code thing with CSS and JavaScript, and I was mind blown.
Yeah, it's so fun. It really is. It's puzzles.
Yeah, it just is.
Yeah.
And also, I like the way that you said that you should stick to your values or the things that you love and you should pursue them. I think that's really important to know, even in today's time when a lot of people are just pushed to do things that they probably don't like.
Yeah. And like I said, bring it together. You need to be pragmatic. And, you know, there are times when you don't have as much of a choice and times when you do have more of a choice, but finding a way to loop it in, you know, is what's important. Like for a long stretch, I had my own business, bringing nonprofit organizations online for the first time, you know, and that's how I brought my two worlds of wanting to take care of the, you know, folks around me with my love of tech. And but after a while, that didn't work for me anymore. And so then I just started making sure I worked for folks that were doing products that I thought were doing good. And then eventually, when I found design systems, that in itself, because it's partly about making people's work lives better, but another important part is making sure that our products are accessible to everybody. So it almost doesn't matter where you work if you're involved in making sure that, you know, your products are going to work for those folks who are usually disenfranchised or left out. That said, I still do care about the social values of the company a lot. But I've also been in a position where I get to make that decision.
Yeah, that's exciting. And my next question for you is, what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
That it's a myth and it's not, but that an engineer, you know, that an engineer is someone that you know, is like an introverted geek that doesn't, you know, communicate well with others. And there is room for that, you know, if you, but there's different types of communication. Being an introverted geek, you can still be a leader. You know, that's me. There's different ways to do it. But one of the things I realized about two-thirds of the way through my career is that if I wanted to keep growing and getting higher levels, at one point I did have to accept what I called peopling, which is good communication skills and making sure that you're hearing the other person and that they're hearing you and that you're finding a collaborative solution, things like that. For a long time, I really did feel like, oh, well, I'm not going to go into management. I don't have to learn those things. And I didn't think I was very good at them. But over time, those skills partly just grew because I was doing projects I was passionate about and I liked the people I was working with. So I learned to do those things. And some of it was more of a concerted effort because I did start to realize that no matter what you're doing, once you become responsible for other people, you need to be able to take care of them.
Yeah, a lot of people think that engineers are just like introverted people. They just sit at the computer all day, just code. When it's really not that, there's so much more that goes into it. So much more. And I feel like it's a really big stereotype that a lot of people think of who aren't engineers, and I really want to break that for them.
Yeah. And there's lots of different ways to communicate. We actually communicate with how we organize our code or how we plan for it or how we document it, you know. So even that in itself is communication. And that's the other part I work on a lot too, now that I'm in leadership, is teaching folks that introverts can be leaders too. You know, you can be a quiet leader also, and recognizing and giving credit and voice to that as well.
Yeah, I'm also an introvert, so I definitely get that. And my next question for you is, if you could step into my shoes or your younger self, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
They're good questions. I do think an area that is kind of interesting to talk about that isn't necessarily a question you missed, but my transition from engineer to like leadership. Like I said, for a long time, I thought I could just be an engineer and not have to learn some of the more classic leadership skills. But I also, for a lot of my career, because I was really good at organizing, and I also think because I was a woman in tech, as I started getting more senior, I started getting pushed to be a manager. And a lot of that is stereotyping, you know, the whole, you know, women are good at the feelings and relationships and the organization, and the men are at the hard thinking things. And so women, you know, will be on the path to architect and will be encouraged to switch over. It also, it's more visible. My leadership role is more visible. So it also shows we have, you know, we're raising our women up. So for a long time, I did, you know, kind of resist that movement, just also because I didn't want it to be based on that, and I actually really wanted to prove to myself that I could be a woman architect, and I didn't quite reach architect. but the changing point came for me when I started seeing that the puzzles I got more interested in were ones about process and about, you know, teams not collaborating well. Like I started seeing the same things break down over and over again and had ideas for how to fix them. And that's where I just naturally started solving those problems and more than I was solving technical problems. And that's when I realized I was ready to make that change. And that was a good reason for it, because what I was interested in, what I was passionate about aligned there with that role. So that's just the other thing to be mindful of too, is that if you become a representative of a demographic, you know, you can be pushed to be more visible or in this other role, and it's not necessarily because it's a fit. And to be mindful of, you know, following your passions.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to change paths than what you originally were going to be or what you thought of. I'm a really big planner type of person, and if things don't go my way, then I start to get really frustrated. I'm a very stubborn person in that sense. So I can definitely get the changing part, like you wanted to stay being women in architecture, but slowly you progressed on to leadership, and you know, that gave you a lot more opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's clicked this time, whereas it wouldn't have if I tried to do it before, because what I was interested in solving then didn't align with a management role. So,
yeah. And what are the best resources/books that have helped you find your career path?
I don't even think the book that helped me is even in print anymore. you know what it is, and did end up, you know, the latter half of my career in a more niche area of design systems. So what's really worked for me is conferences, and also, you know, following those folks on LinkedIn and Twitter, seeing what they're posting, but also seeing who they're interacting with, and then following them. And a good chunk of them, you know, are sharing resources they found interesting or that they've written themselves. And, you know, and I follow those. It's, you know, books these days that, you know, there's some good stuff about, like, you know, about the more management side of my work. But when it comes to the technical or, you know, something emerging like design systems was, it's so quick that, you know, books don't really keep up as much. And so I do find articles and Twitter threads, you know, to be I don't know what it's going to be next, but you know the more modern communication paths to be the most helpful.
Yeah. What are some of the conferences that you really enjoy? Just, I'm pretty curious.
Yeah, you know, the one that I loved the most was the CSS DevConf, and that one, they stopped running it, but that was fantastic. Yeah, that was what, so ones that really are centered on your area. But I will say, anything that has to do with like UI development and front-end engineering and that overlap of design and engineering, those conferences are pretty amazing, because that community is really embraces diversity and equity. And so you hear such a range of voices. They're so great at making sure there's a balance of speakers, and there's always, yeah, it's just an amazing community. And so those conferences are usually pretty great. Also just for making connections and, you know, finding roles.
Yeah, I will definitely check them out if there are any coming up. Yeah. And my next question for you is, what do you think is a vital factor that shaped your career path? What was your life before learning it? And what was your life after learning it?
Well, I found it. Again, we're going to go back to how long I've been doing this. Before I was, you know, I was still in grad school and had gone down a very teachy-feely path. And then, you know, for a long time, I was the tech is very intellectual, you know, so everything was really in my head. And as I started, this is probably a sidetrack, but I started integrating heart and brain about midway through my career. And that's where I did start getting more instinctive and following things that were interesting to me, that touched my passions. You know, I often ended up in roles that don't really exist, you know, so sometimes it was hard to find a new role because I was specialized, or I had to, you know, someone had to take a leap of faith in me. But that is where things kept me growing and changing and interested in what I was doing. So, you know, following a prescribed path didn't work for me, and it was okay. Some fields allow that more than others.
Yeah, it's okay to change. Going back to what I probably said before, it's okay to change what you originally thought of, and it's okay to take that leap of faith and go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're lucky enough to be in that position. A lot of times, folks aren't, and we shouldn't be bashing ourselves if we're not in that place right now either, because, life is complicated. But when you have those opportunities and you're able to do it, following the passion is great.
Yeah. And because we have some additional time, my first question for you is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career path?
I think, yeah, the part of it was that the need to keep growing and learning, getting comfortable with one, having one skill and knowing that well, things, the fields change and getting outdated really happens very easily. So to stay on top of, stay on top of your community and see where it's moving and see where you're interested in following it and making sure that you're finding those opportunities, whether it be through the projects at work or side projects, to keep growing in those ways. But the flip side of that is also when things that is really important that I figured out for myself is when I had a really hard time with feedback, it was because my ego was too involved in it. And it's because my whole sense of self was centered on my job. And so I started recognizing that when feedback got really hard for me and I was taking it really personally, because it was my whole sense of self, that I was working too much and not balancing. And so I made a point of, focusing on one of my other areas of interest, whether it be some kind of art form or craft, or even just hanging out with like friends more, but a different side of who I am, and investing some of my sense of self there. To balance it out, because work is complicated and there's always some tension because people are representing different interests, and you have to be able to hear that feedback without feeling like they're saying you're a horrible human being that shouldn't
Yeah, there's this one saying that the second you get comfortable, you have to switch, because you're supposed to continue learning, although it's kind of hard, but you just have to continue learning. And I'm a very stubborn person, so I get what you mean about the whole feedback part. Yeah. But I think it's important to know that feedback isn't always bad. Right. It's something that you can always grow from, and that can actually help you instead of not accepting the feedback.
Exactly. And even if it's coming from a perspective that might feel wrong to you, there might be some element in there that is right. Like, oh, so why did this person get this perspective that this is how I am when I don't perceive myself that way? So it could be even that what they're telling you to do is not what you really want to be doing, but that there's something in what they're telling you that shows a way you're conveying yourself. So there is usually something in there, or it can even just be letting you know, oh, this environment doesn't understand me. And I do think that there are environments where, you can be understood. So sometimes it's a sign too that if you're being misread all the time, maybe, a different place would be a better match.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to clarify about the growing and changing and staying on top of things. Some people, a lot of techies, they will then go home for the weekend and build all weekend too, and if that makes them happy, that's awesome. That's never been me. I have gotten most of my work growth by taking on projects that were a little over my head. Sometimes I did have side jobs on weekends that did that, but they were fun and interesting, but that other point about being a balanced person with other interests too is part of what's allowed me to be able to handle some of the hard stuff.
Yeah. And my next question for you is, how do you continue to learn in order to stay on top of things within your role?
Switching to management, part of it is it's a new area for me, so I'm a little bit constantly over my head, so that's been very good inspiration to go grab things and read and like interview friends that do the work, or study what other people are doing. And I think that is part of it, is that taking stretch projects and reaching for something that's new enough that that you're motivated to learn more about it. When things start feeling old, that's when we kind of get more complacent, and sometimes that does work for phases of our life. But if you do it too long, you're, first of all, you're not getting that energy and joy from your career, and you spend a lot of time in it, and secondly, you could get left behind. So always finding those things that are learning opportunities.
Yeah, and those learning opportunities can then lead you to passions that you might not have known of. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And I actually have an example for this. When I was doing some coding, or I don't know what I was doing during quarantine, my dad introduced me to the concept of cloud because he's a cloud architect, and I was like, why would I need to know this? Like, this is relevant. But and then I started learning more about this, and it actually became a big passion of mine. And that's probably something that I want to be when I'm older.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. I
Thank
love
you.
that. Yeah, that's so cool. One thing I should have mentioned, since you were doing some CSS, is one of the communities in the conferences that's really great is Clarity. I mean, it's just about design systems, but if folks are into front end, the Clarity conference is really the one. Those folks and the person who runs it are just fantastic.
That's exciting. Yeah. And my last question for you is, do you have any quotes or mottos that you love to follow and would like to share?
It's more of an image that's in my head than a quote. I was learning to whitewater kayak, and one of the things they told us is like, okay, you'll see a big boulder. You need to be aware it's there, but you don't focus on it. You focus on where you want to go instead. And then, of course, what did I do? I focused on it, and I landed my right on that rock on top. That really just ground home for me this idea that you need to be aware of the danger areas, but you need to actually focus on where you're going, because that's what where your energy goes is where your focus. So you focus this thing that's way away from the big rock, and that's where you'll put your drive towards. And that turns out to be true in so many different areas.
Yeah, like note the obstacles, but focus on the path. That's a really exciting one. And yeah, okay, so since we finished the interview, do you have any last words or advice to the audience?
I think the other one in there is to really pay attention to yourself and who you are. Especially the work world, it has these patterns and paths it wants. And there's a place for everybody, especially if you find something which you're good at. So you can be really good at something and still not be a fit, right? And it can be really easy to then think you're not good at it, or you're horrible or whatever, but really you're just in the wrong environment. And so knowing yourself, knowing your strengths, knowing your passions, or at least how to find them, can help you see if you're in a mismatch, or you're in a match but you want to grow in a certain direction. And again, you can, and also bringing these skills along with your values, finding the ways to make them work for you so that, you are living up to who you are, I think will help drive a career in a way that's going to stay satisfying.
Thank you for tuning into Arnest News, where we aim to inspire and empower women in STEM by featuring the stories of successful female professionals in the industry. Today, we had the pleasure of hearing from Lisa Latour, the Senior Director of Product Design and UI Systems, Global Utilities and Mobile at Sprout Social, who shared her invaluable advice on career changes, unexpected opportunities, and learning to adapt to changes in one's fields. Thus, that concludes episode 37. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. Episodes, by the way, are every Monday and Thursday at 12 a.m. PST. A free way to support this show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show, and it helps others discover it too. Also, check out our YouTube channel, that is www.youtube.com/@arnestnews. No spaces attached. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Dito, you were listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arnest News. Toodles!